Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Scottish Parliament. My name is Jerry, I work at Parliament, and I'm here with Graham Day, MSP. Hi Graham.
Hi.
Could you tell me and the listeners a little bit about yourself and your role with the Environment Committee?
So I'm the MSP for Angus South and I convene the Environment, Climate Change and Land Reform Committee and have done for the past 2 years almost.
And the committee recently just finished their inquiry, is about to publish a report on air quality. And one of the areas the committee was looking at was whether Scotland has the right policies, support and incentives in place to adequately tackle air pollution. So what were the findings?
Well, we did a fairly extensive inquiry, trying to cover as many aspects of it as possible. I think it'd be fair to say that we got some mixed views on the issue. I think some of the evidence we have was quite supportive of the high-level aspirations and commitments contained within the CAFS, which is the document that drives this. But there are other people who felt that either the policies weren't being delivered or they don't go far enough. Our view, I think our conclusion on that was pretty much that the policies that are in the CAFS are broadly moving in the right direction, but we would question whether the necessary support and incentives are in place to deliver action on the ground and get us where we need to go.
Does the committee think then that Scotland's policies are sufficiently ambitious?
Well, what we heard was that the approach was largely consistent with that of the World Health Organization's recommendations. So I would say that the policies are sufficiently ambitious. The question that arises is whether they're going to be delivered, who specifically delivers them, and when. And I think there's a question mark here of how partnership working develops, how we get our heads around this issue in all sorts of different ways. So, you know, things like planning, you know, you can't, if we're talking about tackling air quality, we need to consider that and how we plan, say, new housing developments. So let's not have a housing development out in the middle of nowhere where people can't walk to the shops or walk to the local school. You know, we need to think smarter about these things going forward.
What about policies and delivery mechanisms? And by that I mean support and incentives. Are they being effective in addressing those issues?
Well, that's a very good question. I think it was difficult for the committee to fully assess the progress that's been made against the existing key actions and milestones that are there. We would argue that the latest progress report wasn't as clear and transparent as we would have wanted it to be. And we've said that future reports must clearly show the status of delivery of each individual action and also reflect how any new policies and resources through budget impact positively or negatively on the delivery of these.
Did you find that there are conflicts in policies or barriers to successful delivery of the air quality objectives?
That's an interesting one because I think instinctively we would feel there are some inconsistencies, perhaps around planning control. So we try to explore whether the agencies that might have had an input to this, SEPA, Transport Scotland, whether they could identify, a major housing allocation or a transport development that had not been permitted due to air quality concerns. And we struggled there. So there are other areas where there are concerns around active travel. We have a target. It's a fairly ambitious target given the short period of time between now and delivery. I think we have some questions about whether it will be met. And yet there are examples out there. In the Netherlands, for example, where 27% of all journeys are made by bike, and that goes up as high as 36% in the city of Amsterdam. So it's possible to change. We know that can be achieved. But I guess if you look at things like active travel, there's an argument about the type of infrastructure you provide. You know, we have conflict on the roads, as you know, with buses, cars, lorries and cyclists. Do we provide safer infrastructure, bespoke infrastructure for cycling? Because that's very difficult to achieve in cities like Edinburgh.
How do you think Scottish policy fits with the UK and EU policy in air quality? You've mentioned the Netherlands, but how do you think like that impacts in Scotland specifically?
I think quite well, to be honest. I think in terms of the wider UK and the EU air quality policies, quite well. But I think there are some doubts around whether Scotland can meet the EU air quality targets for 2020, although SEPA were seemingly confident that that could be achieved. Some of the environmental groups have concerns in this area as well. So I think the policies take us some of the way to where we need to go. We're convinced that they quite get us there. But of course, you know, this is a kind of a moving feast in a way. CAFS is a kind of living document. It needs to be updated. I mean, the Cabinet Secretary, I think, said it would be updated in 2020. I think we would be looking for kind of movement on that perhaps before then, so that we get confidence, if you like, and people understand what the kind of staging posts on this journey actually are.
And when it comes to Scottish policy, Scotland's set to have a pilot low emission zone, LEZ, in place by 2018. Could you explain a wee bit about what that means and also whether there should be more than one LEZ pilot?
Well, the plan is to have one LEZ, and this kind of took off during our inquiry. So the Scottish Government had confirmed some of the detail around this. So there's to be a confirmed LEZ in Glasgow in place by the end of 2018, with Edinburgh, Aberdeen and Dundee to follow by 2020. But one of the things that kind of came up as we did the inquiry was what does having an LEZ mean? It's certainly not saying that by the end of 2018 there will be an all singing, all dancing low emission zone in Glasgow, fully functioning exactly where it needs to be. That's not the case. If you look at experience from other parts of the world, and London would be an example, it takes time to develop these. So it was interesting. The evidence we took from the government suggested there's some fairly good collaborative working going on between these cities and the Scottish Government. We had Glasgow City Council in front of us. They showed a real command of the subject. They understand the issues in their city. But of course, the issues are different from city to city. I mean, if you look at somewhere like Dundee, where I know there's an enthusiasm in the part of the council to do this, but it's a completely different challenge to Glasgow. And even within Glasgow, you have areas where cars are the problem, but you have areas where buses are the problem. I personally was very impressed with the handle Glasgow has on its issue. So there are still some questions about what this will look like, how quickly it will be implemented, and, you know, where the use of technology fits in to what we're trying to achieve. So the positives there, the commitments made, that's the positive thing about it. But there are still question marks about how this will be rolled out in practice. And for example, Aberdeen were less positive about the direction of travel at this stage than others.
And much of this inquiry appears to have focused on transport. Is adequate consideration given to other areas like, for example, air pollution from agriculture?
I think the committee's view would be no, it isn't. We were a bit disappointed to hear that the CAFS doesn't include agricultural pollutants, despite the Scottish Government stating that it's aware that total ammonia annual emissions are significantly impacted on by emissions from agriculture. And that mostly comes from the application of manure to soils. So air quality, the key thing is it's not just an urban issue. We think of low emission zones, they're in cities, therefore that's where the problem lies. But it's not entirely there. There are issues in the countryside as well. And we've recommended that CAFS is updated to include agricultural pollutants and to state how and to what scale these are expected to be reduced in the coming years. And we're looking for the Scottish Government to also provide guidance to the agricultural sector on new techniques to mitigate air pollution, alongside considering any incentives that might be needed to accelerate the use of these and adoption of these methods.
And finally, Graham, if listeners want to read the report, where can they find it?
Well, I'm not expected to be knocked over in a rush for that, but to be fair, but digitalpublications.parliament.scot is the place to look.
That's great, and we'll also put a link to that in the show notes for this show as well. So to everyone at home, thanks for listening, and to Graham Day, MSP, many thanks for your time today.
Thank you.